Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
Hello, it's Pastor Jason Cooley here with the Old Paths Broadcast, and I'm back here. Brother Brandon's going to be off for a few more weeks here, and he's got some things that he's taking care of, and I'm here with Lonnie helping out, and Mrs. Lonnie helping out there too as well. Lonnie's wife, a good sister in the Lord there, helping out here with the producing here this week, just kind of helping Brother Lonnie. Please pray for him. He was in the hospital and had some heart issues, but his heart is fine, but just some other issues around his heart, something else going on. So just pray for him that all would be well there, but we're excited to be back on the air with you here this week, and got a lot to talk about, and we'll kind of cover what we talked about last week as well, just to recap a little bit, and get into that and kind of talk about what happened to these sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. And what they did and who they were and what they did. And we might even get this week to possibly where they ended up and where they are now, that is. And we might actually discuss that. But we'll look at that and see how far we get here. Last week, my friend, Facebook friend and brother in Christ, Mike Corbo, he had called and helped out and added a few things in there, and that was a blessing. And he may even call in here this week. I'm not sure, but he's more than welcome to call back when we get to that time of the program there. I'd love to have his input as well on this. This is a fascinating subject. I'll tell you, I've been studying something all week here, and I've been studying on Nimrod and Babylon. And if you go to our sermonaudio.com page, / Pastor Cooley or Old Paths Baptist there, if you go to that page, you'll see some sermon that I just posted up there called Nimrod and Babel, or Nimrod and Babylon. And really, it's just getting started, but it's fascinating when you start to study that out a little bit. And I'm going to do that in the weeks to come here and bring some more messages for our church, and also we put them online. But what a study that is. And what does the Bible mean? What was really going on in Babel, and what is it? How does it affect us today? Because it still does, and you know, there's just so much there. So it kind of even ties into what we're talking about here tonight with the sons of God. But you know, that's a later discussion. It's kind of a lengthy one, but looking forward to that, you know, as well, in talking about that in weeks to come. Just a great study, you know, in that area. To look at, because that mystery Babylon the Bible talks about, and we know Satan is the head of every mystery there as far as that goes. God had his mysteries, but he revealed them, amen. But Satan tries to conceal everything, tries to hide everything. And we're here to reveal the truth, amen. And I look forward to doing that each and every week here with you on the program here. And you that listen to the recorded programs and everything like that, we're glad you're listening. We hope it's a blessing. Share it with somebody else that might help out. And we just like to study the things of God and to dig in there deep and, you know, see some things in the scriptures that people like to just glance over. And I think Nimrod and Babylon, that's one of those that people like to, they really like to gloss over, not really cover. And they don't really see the deep spiritual meanings that are there. And all the wickedness and abominations that went on in that place, it's pretty amazing once you study it. But anyway, that's in weeks to come. I look forward to doing that. And on the Faith Baptist Church Facebook page, you can see a link there for Old Paths Baptist Church, our sermon audio page for Old Paths Baptist Church, and feel free to to check that out. And you know, all those sermons are free, so you can download them or you can listen to them online, however you, if you want to stream them. But definitely a blessing to have those out there to you, and I hope they are. You can share those sermons and back and forth and with others, and that might be interested in a certain series or something that we talk about on the radio. And, you know, you can share those with others, and I look forward to that. This week has been a crazy week here. You know, I think it's time, Brother Lonnie, it's time for something. What is it time for, Brother Lonnie? Go ahead.
Wake up!
That's right. It's time to wake up. And I like this portion of our show, because I think what it really does is it takes the Word of God and biblical principles and applies them to everyday activities, everyday life, everyday events that occur. And you know, this thing of Obamacare will not go away. Boy, it's just like a dirty thing that won't go away. It just won't leave. And you know, obviously the president, he wanted to double down on this and really, man, dig his heels in and say, well, it's the Republicans' fault, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault. Well, now he's saying that well, I'm going to make it so you can keep your plans for a year, at least a year. Well, how do you do that? You pass a bill and a law that says you can't do that. You pass a law that basically you lied, but you pass a law that kind of forced these companies, you know, to drop certain plans and to do this. And I believe this is all a ploy. I think he knew this was going to happen. But, you know, the sheeple that follow him, the Democratic Party, and even some of the Republicans, you know, even some of those people that followed him or haven't really stood up against what he's doing here, they probably didn't understand quite all that was going to unfold here. But he knew, and those powers that be that are behind him, those satanic principalities and powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places, all those, they understand. And they know perfectly well what's behind all this or what this is all leading to. Well, you know, you got everything going on. The president thwarts Congress again on this issue. And what legal authority does he have to do this? And he has none. You know, he has none to push what he wants to do now. He's trying to fix something. Well, this fix could raise people's costs. The fix alone that he's trying to do could raise people's costs. It's a mess. He should have kept his hands out of it, and Congress shouldn't have voted on it. They should have just threw it away and not mess with it. But now it's too late for that. They're going to have to do something. I think they need a full repeal of this bill and change everything that they've done. You know, it's probably a smokescreen. All this is a smokescreen for something else that's going on, I'm sure. It usually is. But anyway, this is... The bill is very intrusive. The whole bill needs to be thrown out, and all of the legislation that went along with it, all of the things that are just unreal that went along with it. You know, those things should really be taken out too as well. That whole bill should be repealed because it's wrong. It's just plain and simple wrong. It's not effective. It doesn't work only to do wrong. But it doesn't work to help anybody. It's really a big trap. You know, the Human Health Services there admits that Obamacare plans cost more in many cases for other people. They admit it. I mean, this is a mess. This is a train wreck for our nation. It's putting us billions and billions, and it'll end up being trillions of dollars in debt because nobody wants it. I think they even inflated the numbers. But you know what's crazy? The numbers that they have out there on this issue, they say 100,000 people enrolled for it. 100,000? You were supposed to have millions that enrolled for this right away. And you don't even, these 100,000, we can't even verify that. You know, it's not even verifiable by the way that they do things. So, you know, this is a mess. It's a train wreck. And it's taking our country down. People need to wake up and see that both sides are to blame for this. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs is what it is. You know, even the architect of Obamacare knows that it's wrong, knows that it's messed up, knows that it's not going to work. It can't work. It's not possible to work. You know, it's a sad thing really is what it is. But this is where our country's at. We have a bunch of mindless people that just follow along, that don't ever look at anything and don't ever study anything and don't ever just look at the practicality of things. You know, they don't even, these are the people that passed the bill and then they said they could read it. I mean, for that right there, they ought to be fired and possibly tried for that and horsewhipped for it. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What do you mean you pass a bill without reading it? That is insane, is what it is. It's absolutely satanic. It's against the written law, and there's a purpose for that. That's what they do. They work against the written law. Anyway, so that's just Obamacare, just to get started. Even that's all that is in the news. And I mean, their whole cabinet, Obama's whole cabinet, is so completely messed up right now. Who could even work under those conditions? I mean, your own people, their own side is turning on them. Hey, if you want to call in, though, our number is 646-915-9266. 646-915-9266. It's unbelievable. The whole thing is just crazy. It's the inmates running the asylum. It's just craziness. It's pandemonium and nuts. And, you know, this is supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave here. Our country is supposed to be something that is a, you know, was a bastion of hope. And, you know, when you look at it today, it's depressing. It's sad. Now, I don't mean I'm depressed, because I know my citizenship is in heaven. But I weep because I pray because I see what's going on around us. And it's so sad that people are so blind. They're so very blind to a man that could just be has a little bit of charisma. Bill Clinton did it, although I believe Bill Clinton is much smarter than Barack Obama. I just believe he was. Bill could tell you a lie, look in your eye and tell you a lie, and, man, you just believed it because you liked him. I'm just saying the average person just believed him because Bill Clinton would make anybody pretty much like him. I mean, he was that kind of a guy. On a personal level, that's the way he was. This guy doesn't have really that. He just has kind of some other things. He had a lot of money backing him and everything. But anyway, you know, more navigators exposed in the new videos to show that all this, you know, the scam of everything they're setting up and what they're doing around there. It's just Obamacare is a big mess. And now the president is actually coming out and admitting it, that it's messed up. And, you know, we're going to give a year to do this. And It's insane. You know, you can't even get your story straight, but you expect me to go. You can't even work on a website. Do you understand how foolish that is? You can't even make a website work. Man, there's 5 kids you can hire from college somewhere in an IT department that can make it work. This is a scam. This right here is nothing more. It's not incompetence. As much as it is willfully doing it, and it's a scam. Nobody's this stupid. I mean, they have eBay, they have Google, they have all these representatives. They know how to do that. Matter of fact, Google keeps all your information and spies on you anyway. Why didn't they just ask Google for all the information? They got it all. They know what size shirt you wear and what and where you get your hair cut and everything. I mean, what's the use? What is the game that's being played here with this website? It's just—it's a game. It's a smoke and mirrors game. They're not that incompetent. They know where all the information is. They've been spying on us for years. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous for people to think. And don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled that this is just a blunder. It's not. It's on purpose. It's being done. The end game is to probably set up a single payer system, to where you don't have a choice and there's just one system. That's what the government wants. They want to control everything. So that's what that is. Don't be deceived by that. That's what this whole game is. You know, then you've got Hillary Clinton in the news, and she wants to run. You know, she wants to run for president, obviously. And so Bill comes on there and says, you got to let people keep their plans. Bill told the president that, but don't ever forget, I just got one word for you when it comes to Hillary running for president. Benghazi. Enough said. Benghazi, that's all you got to say. If you want that lady to be your president, which, by the way, I don't believe a lady should be president, but if you want that lady to be your president, Benghazi, one word for you. Go investigate it. You won't want that lady to order a pizza for you. obviously abortion and other things they're into. And by the way, people come up dead when they hang around the Clintons. I just want you to know that. That's if you study their history and everything that goes on with the Clintons, people just end up dead when they're around them. I don't know. They just people get what my friend Mike Corvo calls suicided. That's what he calls. They get suicided. But I like that term he uses. But it's true. They get suicided. That's what happens to them. So I find it a little. And by the way, when the Clintons left office, they had all kinds of information on everybody. So they weren't stupid. They know what they're doing, and they're vying for another way back into the White House again. They want the power again. They want control again. Anyway, so that's Obamacare, and that's what's going on that side of the aisle, so to speak. There, sad. You know, what the White House predicts that taxes will hit a record of $3 trillion in 14. Isn't that wonderful? Like, we need any more taxes. Like, we can afford it. You know, with all the money they're printing and all the inflation that we're coming up to, it's getting really sad. And good to have Brother, by the way, good to have Brother Wally listening online here tonight, and he's listening to the program. He might be on the phone or he's online, but it's good to have him listening. And Brother Wally's a faithful listener there. He's always listening to the program, and we definitely appreciate that. And hope that it's a blessing, amen, to him and to his family. But as we move along here and we look at just a few things that's going on here in the news, we need to wake up and understand the game that's being played in front of us. Now, it's not a game to us because we're getting feeling the brunt of it. But, you know, police are out of control in a lot of areas right now. If you Google a few things and see online, the police are just absolutely out of control. The police in New Mexico are out of control. Google New Mexico police, and, you know, last week they gave a man a couple weeks ago, I think it was, or so, I can't remember when it was exactly, but it was in the news last week. They gave a man an exam, and they basically stripped him and gave an exam, said he was a known drug dealer, so they obviously took their fingers and did that exam, and then they took this man to a hospital, gave him two or three enemas, and made him go to the bathroom in front of them, in front of the doctors and everything, and but first they x-rayed him, and it showed that he had nothing in his system. But they still did this. What is this? This sounds like a Mexican prison to me. It sounds like something you'd hear about in Mexico. It sounds like something you'd hear in a prison there or a jail there in Mexico. This is ridiculous. I'm so sick and tired of these unions protecting the jobs of these cops when they do something wrong and you got to go through all this rigmarole to get these people fired. You know what should happen to those guys for doing that to that guy? They ought to be tried and publicly horsewhipped as a punishment. That's what ought to happen to those guys, because that'll teach them not to do that stuff, those in authority and those in power. That's what needs to happen. They're corrupt. But it's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of Nimrod. It's the lawlessness that goes on. It's those in authority. It's those it's a satanic spirit. Then you've got a woman here this week that was in the news. Same New Mexico police. Pull that woman over. A drug dog barks. They strip this woman's clothes down, basically rape her with their hands. They rape this woman repeatedly over again with their hands and take her in for x-rays and everything else. Now, folks, this is absolutely satanic. That's what it is. It is absolutely satanic. And those guys ought to be fired for that. They ought not just be fired for it. They ought to be charged. And like I said, you publicly horsewhip these guys, and you know what will happen? This stuff will stop. This stuff will stop. You know, we have the article there on Faith Baptist's Facebook page there. Man seeks millions after New Mexico police force colonoscopy in drug search. I mean, these people went off. But this poor woman, I mean, They did the same to this poor woman. I mean, how humiliating is that? How absolutely wicked and satanic is that to do that? And I'm telling you, it's happening all over the country, things like this. But there's been reports of it that people are starting to report these things. And, I mean, yeah, you're going to sue them and everything else, but, man, that lady can't get her dignity back, and she can't get her the violation that she received back from these pigs. And that's exactly what they are, is pigs, for doing what they did to her. There's no reason to do that. I've seen this over and over again. I've seen a YouTube video of a woman that this woman didn't do anything wrong. They pulled her over in a stop. They stripped this woman down of her clothes, threw her in a jail cell. They did the same thing to her. They basically raped her, and she didn't do anything wrong. She didn't do anything. They had the wrong person the whole time, and they're doing this woman. Folks, this is just sick is what it is, but it's a picture of this world and what's really going on in it, and we need to wake up and understand this. I'm so sick and tired of this worship of police officers and this worship of even veterans and this worship of soldiers and everything else. You might get upset with me by saying this, but I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. This stuff has gone overboard, and we are like the Roman government. We are like the Empire of Rome. We parade war. We parade soldiers. We parade police officers. Their jobs are no different. Their jobs are no different than anybody else's has to do every day that gets up and serves and works and lives in society. People say, well, you got to go over there and fight to be like that. No, I don't have to. And guess what? Neither do they. And we don't need to be over there in the first place. We need to wake up and realize what's really going on here. When you got U.S. soldiers that are guarding poppy seed fields, poppy fields, heroin fields, really? That's what we're there for? Pictures all over, you can see of them. Anyway, we need to wake up and understand that. I'm not saying that we don't respect those that have done what they needed to do and fought and did some other things, and served their country and things like that. What I'm saying is it's gone overboard. It's gone out of the way. You know, and I'll tell you another corrupt thing that we need to wake up and understand. I know I'm kind of on a rant here right now with these things, but another one is the prison system. The prison system is the most corrupt system in America. It is absolutely the most heinously wicked, corrupt system in America, and it should be abolished. It has no oversight to it. It is a money-making scheme. It's wicked and satanic is what it is. Absolutely wicked and satanic. We need to really pray about all that. But because that's the truth. I know I'm stepping on a lot of toes here, but it's a wicked system. There's so much corruption in it. And by the way, you can get anything you want in prison. Anything. If you have the money. Anything. So who's bringing it in? The system is. The system's bringing it in. So anyway, it's not inmates that are stuck in there. It's the system that brings it in. You just remember some of those things. The NSA chief says today that Snowden leaked up to 200,000 secret documents. Leaked, huh? Yeah, you're an enemy of the state when you tell that the state is spying on you. That makes you an enemy of the state. By the way, America's personal data is being shared with the IRS and the CIA. They're sharing all of it. That's another thing in the news that you need to be aware of. You know, how come the Republicans, if they're the bastions of hope, how come the Republicans aren't standing up for that? How come they aren't standing against that and doing something about it, passing legislation to do something about it? Well, it's pretty easy. The reason they're not is because America is ran by the Federal Reserve, and that's who runs America. So it's not ran by Congress. If it was, then Congress would put in check the IRS. Matter of fact, it would read the Constitution and abolish the IRS because it's not even biblical. Or it's not even constitutional. It's definitely not biblical, but it's not constitutional. But anyway, that's another point altogether. But, you know, the intelligence agencies, they want facial recognition upgrades. That's what they want. The Pentagon drones want to scan eyes from a distance. They want to be able to scan people's eyes from a distance. You understand where this is all leading? For all the world to wander after the beast. So man cannot buy, a man cannot sell, a man cannot trade. You know, he can't do anything without the government. They can't do anything. That's where we're heading. We're heading where everything must be spied and monitored, and you can't be trusted. You know, that's you can't be trusted with yourself. We can't trust you with yourself, so we're gonna make sure that you are watched and monitored in everything you do. I mean, they want to put monitors everywhere. Everywhere in public, they want to put monitors to watch everybody. This is end time stuff, folks. That's what this is. We need to wake up and understand that. And where do you hear the Republicans that are supposed to be the conservatives that are there because they believe in the Constitution? Where are they at to help? Your Republicans are the ones that vote for the Patriot Act and the National Detention Act. They're the biggest war hawks on it. They're the biggest ones to stand up for it. Yep. Wake up, folks. They're both, either one of them are not on the side of what's right and what's true. Sadly, that's the case. Now, there are a few select ones. Let me preface that by saying that. There are a few select ones that want to do right. They seriously want to do right. They're there. Most of the bulk of them don't care. Most of them have their own agenda. Most of them make their own money. Most of them are making money and getting very wealthy. They're getting very wealthy off of Americans, off of lobbying and everything else. Sad, isn't it? This is what our great country has come to. This is where it's came. You know, we need to wake up though and see it. We need to see what it is. We need to acknowledge it. And we need to stand for what's right and wake up and don't fall into that right left paradigm of, you know, the right is always right and the left is always wrong, and you know, don't fall for that. Don't fall for those tricks, because that's exactly what they are, is tricks. We need to stand tall for what's right and stand for the Word of God. That's what we need to stand for, because you know, we're in a battle. This is a serious battle. And we need to be prepared for it spiritually and understand what we're facing. We'll come back here. We're about ready to go to a break here, and we're gonna have a song, The Old Rugged Cross. I love that song. But we're gonna have that song in the back.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old cross I will live. grizzly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Our Lord was near death when he gave this cry, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Think of the tremendous love and devotion that our Lord had in suffering such shame and such agony as he was on that old rugged cross.
We'll exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling
my Jesus I will see. Amen. Won't that be something to see Jesus Christ? And I'll tell you what a blessing that'll be when you think about heaven. Sometimes, boy, we see so much wickedness on this earth, but just to get a glimpse of the Savior, and when our life is over, it'll all be worth it. All the struggles, all the trials here, Well, I don't know what happened there. I was praising the Lord, and all of a sudden I got knocked out. Boy, that devil don't like that praising the Lord. Some of you don't believe that, probably, that the prince of the power of the air does a few things. I happen to believe he does. I believe he likes to do that. I believe he'd love to see this cut off, this program cut off. He likes to stir up afflictions, and he likes to stir up problems in the lives of people. And that's what the old devil does, that wicked old serpent. But the Lord gives the victory, and we hide behind the sword of the Lord. Amen. The Word of God, that King James Bible. We don't pretend to fight the devil in our own strength, our own power. I'm no match for him, but my Savior is. And the sword that he gave me, gives the victory. Amen. There's none like it. Give me that sword, like David said. There is none like it. And we believe that. Amen. All right. So as we look and we see here, just a few things that in the news still before we get to the next part of our program. There, let's look at some more reports here on the news and see exactly what's going on here. Because I'll tell you what, crazy things happening. You know, crazy things happening in our world today, and we're just going to finish up with a few of those, and we'll get started with our Sons of God back into that. I'm looking forward to that, and looking forward to teaching you more on that as time goes by. Listen, here's another sad thing. Don't be deceived by this. Wake up. There's a movie coming out here called Russell Crowe is going to be cast as Noah, and that movie is going to come out there. Don't you be fooled by any of that Hollywood garbage. That's not biblical Christianity. That's not the biblical truth. And I guarantee you, they'll leave out as much of the Lord Jesus Christ or God Almighty as they can in that movie. They'll leave as much as him out and give you some fake story, it won't be about the faith of a man. It won't be about a message from God. It'll probably be, I wouldn't be shocked if he wouldn't be looked at as some delusional man, the way that they do things. So anyway, don't fall for any of that. It's a crazy thing, that people actually believe this stuff, but we need to remember that Hollywood is anti-Christ. So be suspect of anything that they put out in a movie form, because they are completely anti-Christ. They hate God. They hate God. They hate everything that the Lord Jesus Christ stands for. And listen, that's where Hollywood is. I've got a whole series on Hollywood that I preach, probably a 12-part series, I think, on Hollywood that if you've never heard it before, you ought to listen to it. It might be a blessing to you. It might help you. As far as understanding movies and everything else like that in the Hollywood industry, where it comes from. Once you find out where the root of it is, you may not want anything to do with it anymore. And I pray that'd be the case, because I don't watch TV anymore. I'm not claiming to be some super spiritual Christian or anything like that. But, you know, I had some movies left in my house even a year ago, or actually 6 months ago. And the Lord really impressed it on my heart. I started studying Hollywood. I said, I'm going to study this thing of Hollywood. I'll find out what's going on. Boy, and I started studying it, the Lord just dealt with my heart. And, I just was broken. I was just broken over it, and I repented of it and got some things right, with the Lord. We took our movies out and we shot them up with a bunch of guns out of a brother's house. And we went out there and shot a bunch of them up. Boy, that was a blessing. And I just felt the Lord bless us greatly. We had a revival in our church, so to speak. I mean, folks were really, they brought their movies and their videos and their other things, and they brought them all and they got rid of them. We had an Acts 17, or Acts 19 service right there, Acts 19 service right there. I mean, it was just a blessing to see. And I went before our church, and I hadn't watched movies, really. I mean, I don't watch them, you know what I mean? So I didn't watch them even for the last couple of years. I really didn't watch a whole lot of stuff. But there was a few that I did, and I allowed my family to watch some things, and they'd be considered, most Christians would say, those are fine, there's nothing wrong with those. No, if it's connected to Hollywood, there's something definitely wrong with it. The Lord just smote my heart over it. And, I had a public repentance there in front of our church, got some things right, brought them all in. I was the first one to get right. Amen. And I'll tell you something right now. When I was the first one to get right, guess what happens? The Lord blesses that when the preacher wants to get right. And then you have a revival. Then you have God work in the hearts of his people when the preacher wants to do right. Amen. When he can see his own sin and get some things right. So what a blessing that was. Anyway, that's so don't fall for any of these Hollywood tricks that is out there right now with these movies that are coming up. It's just they're ridiculous. So don't even give them a second thought. All right, well listen, let's get back into this. We're going to get into this Sons of God thing right now. We're going to start getting into this the Sons of God. I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 6. And, we're going to read Genesis chapter 6 in the Word of God. And, we're going to look at this and do a little bit of a review here. And by the way, the Hollywood series is on Faith Plant Baptist Church's page too as well. If you haven't listened to that series, if you want to listen to my series on that, you can listen to it. I highly recommend you listen to it. I think the Lord would work in your heart if you did, if you watch some movies and some other things, the Lord may deal with you there on some things, and at least you'll have some information, the satanic roots of Hollywood. So that would be probably very helpful for you to be able to do that and be able to study that out yourself. And you can check the references. You can cross-check the references, and you can see exactly how everything is laid out there, the different things that are going on there. with the series. There's just one of them is Ezekiel's television. I think it's a good sermon to really study the chambers of his imagery the Bible talks about there, and study that one out. Listen to that one. Hollywood Satanic Roots Part 1 and 2. I think those would be valuable ones to listen to. I really do. Anyway, moving right along here to the Sons of God series. And we talked about it last week here. And I want to get right back into it here. I'm looking forward to teaching this. And I hope you learned something last week from. If you have questions about it, you can always email me at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. That's my email address. You can email me there, and I'll try to answer any questions I can from the scriptures for you. But our number, our call-in number, before I forget, is 646-915-9266. That's 646-915-9266. And if you want to call the program, you can do that. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him at his heart. You think about that for a second. Let that soak in. Let that sink in. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That it grieved him at his heart. The earth was so wicked at that time that it grieved God, and he had to destroy it because of its wickedness. Moving along here, it's a very sober thought, isn't it? What did these angels do, though? Who are these angels, first of all? And we talked about these angels. These sons of God. We did a study. If you haven't listened to this, go back and listen to the first show. And we did a study on the sons of God. And what we showed with the sons of God series, we showed that every reference of sons of God is giving reference to angels there. In the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, we are the manifest. We will one day be manifested, the sons of God. We are now all created by God. So when one is born again, he is a son of God. The angels were sons of God because God called them that. So we understand that. Adam was called a son of God. Adam individually was called that. Why? Because God was his father directly. Amen. So understand that. That's why that phrase is used there. But these were angels. Well, what did these angels do? These angels left their first estate, the Bible says. They left their first estate. It says in Jude, it says in verse number 6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. So these angels that left their first estate gave themselves over to fornication? Absolutely. Absolutely they did. They gave themselves over to fornication. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. and going after strange flesh. Now, these angels, these fallen angels, they went after strange flesh. Strange flesh to them would be a woman. So then go back to Genesis chapter 6. It says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they took them wives of all which they chose. All which they chose. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, it says. It very clearly states that these were the angels that left their first estate. They left their first estate, their own habitation, the Bible says. We're going to read those verses again. I'm just doing a little bit of a review here until the break. I'll kind of review this just so you you understand. Just so you understand exactly what the Bible is saying here. Because I don't want you to be confused about this. I'm trying to, sons of God, look up every reference. The sons of God shouted for joy when they saw the foundations of the earth being laid. We understand that. We can't really argue with that. That's very clear that that couldn't be human beings. That couldn't be human beings that saw that because they weren't there. They weren't created yet. They were created the sixth day. The number of man is six. Interesting. You know, do a number search on the number four. You'll find angels pop up everywhere with the number four. You'll find spirits pop up everywhere with the number four attached to it. You'll find them in many, many, many places in the scriptures. You'll find them in the end times, that number four. You'll find it there everywhere. It's an amazing study, the number four. Amazing how many times it's used in the Word of God, and it deals with the spirits, the principalities, the powers, angels, other things like that, the spirit world, which, by the way, is totally neglected today. Let me say that. The spirit world is totally neglected today, sadly, by preachers on pulpits. They don't equip people to war with the devil. Preachers today don't even talk about these things. Why? Oh, they don't want anybody to think they're weird. No, the word is peculiar, and God's book is full of strange things. God's, you know, half of, do you understand something? You put down these foolish movies and this science fiction and all this other garbage. If you'd get into the Bible and discover the things that, the mysteries that God has revealed in the scriptures, He's revealed them all for us there. He's given us everything. He explains everything to us in detail. But you don't love God's word enough. You don't crave it and desire it enough to learn. None of us do. But to crave it and desire it enough to learn and to dig into it and see the mysteries that are revealed there. Ah, a lot of the things in your life would be all cleared up when the light of God's word shined on them if you knew God's word. If you knew it. Anyway, so they went after this strange flesh. That's what these angels did. That's what they're guilty of. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. For if God spared not his angels that sinned, well, what did they do? These angels sinned. What did they do? It's interesting, this group of angels he's talking about. But cast them down to hell. Wait a minute. Now, that's not all angels, because angels still fall today. But that's not all angels. All angels weren't cast down to hell? No, there's a specific group of angels that were cast down. What were they? The angels which kept out their first estate. For if God spared not them that sinned, the angels that sinned, but cast them to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world. Hey, did you notice something about the scriptures there? I want to show you something. He leaves it to be reserved unto judgment. And verse number 5 starts out, and spared not the old world. That's all the same time, friend. He's talking about the same time. Same time. Then he goes in and says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. What's he talking about? The flood. Well, why did the flood come? Well, it appears to me that there were some angels that sinned that left their first estate. What was their goal? their goal was to have babies. Their goal was to mess up the line, the genetic line to Christ. That was their goal. Their goal was to make it impossible for a pure strand of DNA to come through that Christ could come through. And you want to know something? They almost accomplished it. If God had not intervened, they would have accomplished it. Why do you think he did? Why do you think he destroyed the world? Yes, man sinned, but man was getting a lot of help from Satan. Man was getting a lot of help from the principalities and powers, the spiritual wickedness in high places. He was getting a lot of help from the powers. But it says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. There's another judgment, Sodom and Gomorrah. Into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, same way he delivered Noah. Vexed for the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. These angels, or these sons of God, sinned. Compartment in hell. And we're going to touch on that later. About that compartment in hell that they're in, and why they're there, and where they're at. They're in a holding cell. Believe it or not, the Bible says they're in chains, it says. And we'll talk about that later on. We'll probably get to that here today, tonight, I'm sure. But what was the result then? What was the result of these unions of angels and women? There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. You know, that word mighty is a very interesting word. It's used again. Now, we don't understand David's mighty men and things like that. But, you know, I think it's fascinating that that word mighty is used for Nimrod, too. Right after the flood, it's used for Nimrod. You know, it wasn't but 100 years or so after the flood that Nimrod started doing what he did. I wonder what he was doing and what he was patterning it after. Oh, I think you'll find out here what he was patterning it after and what he was being used to do. You know, it'll all make sense when we unveil this first. Anyway, they had giant babies that were born unto them. Giant, now they had babies that were big that turned into giants. Giants can be found in the Bible, and the Word of God has been very clear that they're real. Look at Goliath was a giant as well. The Bible doesn't say Goliath was a giant in exact, but his size was anywhere from, we estimate anywhere from 11 to 13 feet tall. Og, king of Bashan, was a giant. He was huge. You know, Og, king of Bashan, was huge. And, you know, a very big guy. But Bible says here, it came to pass when men began to multiply the face of the earth. So we understand that this is what was taking place. You know, just to name a few, we're not really going to talk about giants per se as much. You know, in this series, I do have another series that'll cover giants, you know, a little bit, you know, it's an extensive series. It's about three different messages that I've preached on giants, and there's more that could be preached. Man, I really left off of that sermon series on giants, and I'll pick that up some other time, but man, there's more. I mean, there's just so much more. There's giant animals. There's other things that were going on. It's kind of an extensive study that took place. You know, there's even some historical records that give credence. Now, there's a book called the Book of Enoch. Now, let me just say emphatically to you, I'll say this twice so you understand this. The Book of Enoch is not the Word of God. It is not the King James Bible. It is not the Word of God. I do not hold it as in regard. I'm merely stating this as a historical reference, not saying that it's 100% accurate, not saying that I trust in this. I've already proven, I believe, through the scriptures who these sons of God were. But it's just very interesting that there's some records of some of the things that even in other cultures, what they believe that took place. You know, they talk about the children of men and had multiplied in those days and were born and then beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of the heavens, saw and lusted after them, and said one to another, come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men and beget us children. Again, I don't believe this is the word of God, obviously. It's the book of Enoch. It's a historical, it's referenced in the, Enoch is referenced in the, you know, in the word of God, though, but that's not to say that this, if God wanted it in here, it'd be in here. Don't tell me that God doesn't have enough power to preserve his word and inspire his word and make sure we get it. So this was an historical reference alone, and that's all I take it as. But anyway, and it says that Samazia was their leader and said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And all these angels got together and said, well, let us all swear an oath and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. So they, you know, they plan on doing this. They actually planned on, you know, going down and having children with these women. And they swear they all together and bound themselves by mutual imprecations, it says here. And again, this is just a historical book. And they were all in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared in the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations. Okay, so he names a bunch of these guys, and this book does. And again, it's just a book. But and all the others together with them took unto themselves wives, and each of them chose himself one, and they began to go in unto them to defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms. I think this is fascinating here, though. They taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots and made them acquainted with plants, and they became pregnant, and they bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men, and men could no longer sustain them. The giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish and devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusations against the lawless ones. So anyway, that's a book of history that says that. Anyway, but what was the goal of these fallen ones? We're going to find out here when we come back what was really their goal. And also, we're going to talk about you know, kind of what their punishment was, what their judgment is, and where they are, and that God actually charged them with something. There was a charge that they received. You know, like when you're charged with something, a crime, you're charged with a crime. God charges them with a crime, and I'm going to show you that here when we come back. You know, we're going to come with a song right now as we go to break, Amazing Grace. Amen, Amazing Grace. So listen up to this song and let the Lord deal with your heart. Amen.
I was lost, but now
Amen. All right. What an amazing song that is. Amazing grace. And how amazing is that grace, that God would save a wretch like me? Oh, just the life that I lived and how merciful he is to us. And, you know, if anybody's listening to this program, understand this one thing. If you're not born again by the Spirit of Almighty God, you've never been saved. I got somebody you need to meet. His name is Jesus Christ, and he saves lost sinners. And if you'll be a lost sinner and you'll repent and you'll turn to him, he'll save your soul. If you'll believe the gospel, if you'll believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, if you'll put your faith and trust in him and repent of your sins, he'll save your soul and give you a home in heaven. That's not my promise. That's God's promise. Amen. From the Word of God. Read the Bible. Get yourself a Bible and read it. Or look online. If you're online right now, look and live, the Bible says. Get into the Word of God and see what the gospel is, that Jesus died for sinners. Amen. And he not only died, but he rose again from the dead. He defeated death. And you and I can have that forgiveness of sins that we need if we only come to him, if you only come to him by faith and believe the gospel. All right. The number to call in is 646-915-9266. That's 646-915-9266. All right, continuing on here with these fallen angels. And what was their goal? What was the goal of these sons of God? The key to find the answer out is God's pronouncement to Noah. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God." You know, that word generations, it's the same as generations. You can say it like that as well. It's talking about the genes. Adam had a book. And, you know, Adam had a book of his lineage. And Adam gives his lineage there. But these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The Bible is clear that the generations of Noah, they were perfect, and he was a just man. Now understand this. That doesn't mean that he wasn't a sinner. The Lord used a whore to be in his lineage, Rahab the harlot. Why couldn't he use Cain's offspring that came to a saving knowledge? He used black, white, or Asian, Caucasian, whatever. He's used them all. Clearly, Noah and his generations, though, were perfect, not being affected by these sons of God. There's a double meaning. He walked with God, but because he walked with God, and he was warned about that, Noah didn't fall for that. I think Adam warned Noah. I think Adam's descendants warned Noah, and they told him, not very many mouths to go from Adam to Noah, just two. And 2 years to go from, you know, there are two generations there that would have known each other. I mean, they would have overlapped, the lives would have. And clearly Noah and his generations, they were perfect. He wasn't infiltrated by these sons of God and this giant seed, this Nephilim seed that was there. I believe he was taught by Enoch. I believe Enoch had something to do with that. Methuselah, not to mingle with this wicked line, this wicked people. Enoch was a prophet of righteousness, Jude tells us. He preached and said, Jesus is coming, you know, the Messiah is coming, God is coming. Well, just as he knew that, the devils knew that they had a plan. Plan all along. But Enoch was a prophet of righteousness. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." But in Jude verse 14, he says this, "And Enoch also the seventh from Adam." You think about that, the seventh one from Adam. "Prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch preached this. Enoch preached this to Noah, and Noah heard this. Enoch preached this to his descendants. Noah was warned. Lamech must have listened to Methuselah. Must have been paying attention. Why? Because the Messiah would come through this seed, and the whole goal of the sons of God, the daughters of men, the whole goal of those fallen angels was Satan's seed. That was the whole goal. The whole goal was to stop the Messiah, or to dirty it up. History records that records that 200 of these tried to do this. In Genesis chapter 7, verse number 1, we see what the Bible says, though. It says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." There's also evidence to believe that they actually perverted animals as well, these sons of God. You know, these fallen angels, there's evidence to believe that they perverted animals and all flesh. Because notice, let me ask you a question. I want you to listen to this. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy I will destroy them with the earth. Who's them? I believe it's the offspring of the sons of God. That's who I believe them are. History also records beasts being mixed with humans and other inventions. I believe this is why Noah had to gather all the animals that were not hybrid or mixed. I believe the earth was very corrupt, and the fallen angels had really messed creation up and perverted it. I happen to believe these. That's why you see in mythology and all these other races and all these other nationalities, you see in all these other religions, you will see hybrid animals. You will see them mixed with humans. But you see, you also will see that that was Satan's way of mimicking what God had created up around the throne of God. Because if you look at the cherubims, you look at the difference of them, they're beasts that were created, and they have like some kind of human aspects. They're not humans, they're beasts, but they have different faces, and they have different body structures, and they have different bodies of a man and different things. I believe Satan was trying to mimic what God had created. I believe that was his goal. He couldn't create anything. He could only try to pervert it or mimic it somehow. But anyway, the Bible says here that it was wicked upon the earth, that they had corrupted themselves. But notice it says, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Why do you think God was destroying all those animals? Because they were corrupted. How could an animal corrupt itself? Well, an animal indirectly couldn't corrupt itself. But if you don't think that Satan and his devils and his fallen angels were not smart enough to figure out how to mess with the DNA and how to mess with genetics. Well, I can show you some things. I can show you an article of a pig's heart being put in a human. I can show you a mixture that they've done, hybrid things. I have a sermon on that about hybrids. I can't get into that tonight, but I have a sermon on hybrids where they're mixing animal and humans together genetically. Body parts, and they're making them work. Do you think that's an accident? No, I think it's the Tower of Babel. When God separated all of them, they couldn't do some of these things even after the flood, so that all went out into different languages and different areas, and they couldn't do all the things that they want to do. So it took time to be able to gather all those satanic incantations and those satanic genetic modified things, and it took some time to get through all that, I believe. You know, there's various opinions of that, but to say the least, there's something that was going on there. What were they doing? They were trying to corrupt the seed. That's what the goal was. Why? Because they didn't want the Messiah to have a pure seed to come through. So what happened? They found a way to infiltrate it. They found a way to infiltrate it. It worked. And it worked, but it didn't work totally. Amen? It didn't work totally. Why? Well, because God made it so it couldn't happen. God intervened. God intervened and stopped them from being able to do that. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing that God decided to stop that? That God decided to intervene? You think about it. What a blessing that was, that God did something to protect that. Because they weren't going to defeat God, folks. You can't defeat God. You can't. I want you to turn to a verse now here, and I'm going to have Brother Mike Corbo is calling in, and Brother Lonnie, whenever you want to, you can put him on anytime you want to. That'd be fine. You there, Brother Mike?
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, brother. It's good to talk to you. I'm glad you're able to call in tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I got a verse that I want to read here. As we get started, we're gonna have enough time here to get right into why the sons of God fell. I mean, what happened to them after? What happened to the sons of God that fell? What happened to them and where they are and you know what took place and everything like that. But first of all, the best question that can be asked is, well, what did they do? What did they do? Is there a key in Scripture that tells us? Is there another reference in Scripture that tells us? I mean, we've read from Jude, we've read from Peter, we've read from Genesis. Well, here's another witness in Job chapter 4 and verse number, we're going to start with 15 because this is just a really fascinating portion of Scripture here. But in Job chapter 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says this, "Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly." This right here says that his angels were charged with folly. Those angels that left their first estate. Now, folly, most of the time in the King James Bible, is synonymous with lewdness, Brother Mike, with lewd activity.
Right.
Have you heard that before?
No, actually, I haven't heard that, but that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I can see where folly would be foolishness.
Yep.
But you're saying folly is lewd, lasciviousness, behavior, sexual in nature, you're saying?
Yep. If you do a word study of folly, many of the references, here's one. "Then shall they bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones as she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put away evil from among you." Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah, there's I love the Bible, man. The answer's there. We just got to look for it. Amen?
Amen. Defines itself, doesn't it?
Amen. How about in Judges chapter 19, "And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man has come into mine house, do not this folly." They were Sodomites, and they wanted to, you know, commit lewdness and wickedness with that man that had come under his roof, kind of like what happened with Lot. And that's the
situation.
Right. Another reference to that folly, "And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel." So
okay.
we see that reference many times over, folly and it does mean foolishness too, but most of the time and many times in the King James Bible, it's linked with, lewdness and wickedness. You know, so it's amazing how that all tied together there. But anyway, that's what I believe they were charged with. What were they charged with? Well, they committed folly.
Right. Amen.
One argument of saying, or we have a problem arguing that they were fools for doing it, right? I mean, they were definitely fools. I mean, how could you, you know, why would you want to leave the grandeur of the heavenly state? You know, but it's the trickery of Satan as well. You know, he was, Lucifer is a map at trickery.
Right. Right. I can't even imagine why. I mean, unless they just figured they would, they could tempt the Holy Spirit or tempt God by doing whatever wickedness they wanted to do and then ask forgiveness for it later. It seems to have been what their plan was, I believe.
Well, it's funny because I read some historical account of that, Brother Mike, in some of the books, the book of Jasher, possibly, or one of those, that has some great history records there. And I think that's one thing that they said. They said, well, hey, let's go get some forgiveness now. And God told them, you know, there is no forgiveness for you, you know, for what you've done. I mean, you're now, again, that's history. I'm not liking it to Bible. I'm very firm on that. But it's interesting to me that it doesn't disagree with Scripture. I'll put it that way. It doesn't disagree with the Scriptures either. And when it doesn't, there's nothing wrong with looking at it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I find I don't even have my copy with me anymore. I lent it out to somebody. But, yeah, Enoch. It was the Enoch 1. I enjoyed reading that. 2 and 3, I would have to say, is worthless.
Yeah, that, I got that too. I got that impression too.
That's a twisted version that the Ethiopian church had used to justify their lineage for their king, saying that their royal line had come from David through Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. So they twisted the Book of Enoch Enoch 2 and 3 to justify that. But Enoch 1, I'm not a scholar. I'm certainly not as intelligent as you are. But I haven't been able to find a contradiction in Enoch 1 anywhere from where it contradicts the Bible.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very good. I read it too as well, and that's not my authority for the subject, but it is rather interesting that it doesn't disagree. The Book of Jasher, I found the same thing when I started to read some of that as well, as history, of course, that it doesn't disagree with Bible at all. In fact, the Bible references the Book of Jasher and Enoch as well. So, I mean, there's a few references there that, anyway, we'll get off of that for now and just keep moving. The Bible says in Jude verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Now, brother, what do you think that judgment of the great day is?
Ah, wow, that's pretty deep thoughts. The judgment of the great day? That would be standing in front of God before they're cast into hell, but isn't it referenced that they're going to be, there's an angel that falls from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and then unlocks
Amen.
Them? So
that's
is
right.
this going to take place in one day, or is that just speaking of the day as,
I believe it's referencing the event itself, the entire event of the day of the Lord. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I believe that it's referencing the entire event as the day of the Lord. And what he's saying, and I believe that when we see in Revelation chapter 9, behold, a star, or is it 12? I always get those confused. I think it's 9. A star fell from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and he unlocked the pit, and out comes some hybrids, out comes an army, and out comes these guys. And I think these guys are coming out, and they're mad. Quite frankly, they're mad as hell. I can put it that way because that's the best way to put it.
They're mad as Tartarus.
They're very angry, and they're ready to go. That's right.
Yeah, amen,
brother. That's right. That's the holding cell. That's the holding cell that they are in. They're in what's called a holding cell in chains. They're not actually, it says they're waiting. It doesn't say that they're in hell. It says that they're reserved in everlasting darkness, in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. They're being held, I believe, the same place that I personally believe Judas Iscariot is held. But,
do you think they found them?
You know, because, what's that?
Do you think that they have found them? The reason I ask that is, if you do a Google search of the, you know how when we would say that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, and people would think that it was chemical warfare or some sort of, but coincidentally, around the time that they were saying that, the United States military had found the tomb of Gilgamesh. I don't remember if you remember me saying that to you before. And Gilgamesh is a mythological man who ties in with Nimrod, okay? And what if at that time they had found the keys to the bottomless pit, you know? But I mean, they're not the keys, but what if they had been searching for it? You know, these people, I wouldn't put it past certain people in certain groups with certain amount of money. If they knew it was there and God says it's there, you know, even if you don't believe that Christ is your Savior, you still believe that God put this power, this knowledge there. Why wouldn't they be looking for it?
Well, you know, we all know that, I mean, those that have studied this issue anyway, understand that Hitler spent the many resources and much money traveling around gathering all the relics and anything, any satanic things that he could. And when that was passed on, Operation Paperclip and all that stuff was passed on to the United States government. They've done the same thing. They've went around and tried to find all these things. So are they trying to find, listen, Babel is called, like you and I have talked about, the gate of the gods. So, I mean, we understand that there's more to that, and we're not talking about Babylon tonight, really, but there's more to that, and this, I think, than what people understand. And does the government, are they looking for things like that? Absolutely. They used Aleister Crowley to reach the fourth dimension, and they used him, they used his materials to do that, so yeah, obviously they're looking for something.
Right. Right, amen, they are. They
you
are.
Know, so and- I don't disregard those things because, listen, there's a conspiracy by the devil, the mystery of iniquity, and he's working behind the scenes, and he's building up for the beast, the one world government, the one world system. So he's building up for it. Why should we be shocked by that?
Right, right. And craft shall prosper in the end of days, and craft is basically, when God is saying about craft, he's speaking about witchcraft, and that is
absolutely
what was being used for the Tower of Babel. When you're talking about
it's interesting you say that, brother, because what I find fascinating about that, and I know we're not talking about, but man, I could get on that Tower of Babel because I'm studying it so extensively, right? I've been doing it for 3 days. I've been studying it, you know, on and off. I've been studying that for 3 days straight. And, you know, one of the most interesting things about that Tower of Babylon is that the rise of Satanism and everything, Luciferianism, has to be the religion of a one-world government. It's the only religion that makes it, besides Christ coming and ruling and reigning. Amen? But Luciferianism is the religion of the New World Order. It is the religion of the one-world religion, the one-world government. It has to. It's the only one. It's the one that he unites everyone. Except the remnant.
Right.
You know,
amen.
Except the remnant that believes, amen. And we rejoice in that. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now listen to this, this is another reference to these that were chained down there into darkness, into that holding cell down there, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God, hey, look what he's referencing again, in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few that is eight souls were saved by water.
Amen. And you're not from Peter.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 20, 19 and 20, 18, 19 and 20. What is he referencing?
He's referencing the book of Enoch.
Right, and Noah, and what took place in that time.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
the flood, and the fallen angels, the watchers, and all that.
And the reasons behind it all. Why the flood took place. Just like the reasons why God confounded their language. Because my contention is that Nimrod was trying to do the same exact thing.
The information was probably left behind. At least they had all of their scrolls or cuneiforms, whatever language they had. They had left it prior to the flood in the antediluvian time. The floodwaters recede. All of this information is there, basically.
Let me have you hold that thought for a minute. We're going to go to break. We've got a song here, Love Letters in the Sand by the Marksman Quartet. We'll be back in just a minute.
A scarlet woman caught in her sin, brought to Jesus by self-righteous men. We caught this woman in the very act. We all saw her, that is a fact. We're not dumb, we already know what Moses wrote down a long time ago. But we came to see what you would do with this woman of scarlet hue. He wrote love letters in the sand. Love letters in the sand. They stood around with stones in their hands while he wrote love letters in the sand. He never answered this religious ban, just stooped down slowly and rolled in the sand. Then in a firm, compassionate tone, sat with him without sin, cast the first stone. Then kneeling down as he had before, wrote those beautiful words once more. There in the sand knelt God the Son, and they left him one by one as he wrote love letters in the sand. Love letters in the sand. They stood around with stones in their hands while he wrote love letters in the sand. And raising himself, he looked in her eyes, who condemns thee now, O daughter of mine? No man, Lord, was her humble cry. And Jesus said, neither do I. He wrote love letters in the sand. Love letters in the sand. They stood around the stone in their hands while he wrote love letters.
Amen. Well, I have just enjoyed this show. We only got a half an hour left here, but I have just, it's a blessing to study these things and understand this. But let's get back into this, Brother Mike. We look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we talked about this, how Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And then it just shows, it continues on, it says what he did after that, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes...
Which verse is that? I'm looking for it. Which verse is that?
1 Peter 3:20.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing. Do you understand what that's saying there? What it's saying is that God was watching these wicked spirits cohabitate with the daughters of men, and he waited for what? He waited for Noah to finish building the ark. Long before, my friends, long before judgment comes, God is watching.
Amen.
But he's long-suffering. He was long-suffering. You know, the sad thing is, nobody else got on the boat with Noah. Nobody else cared.
Amen. And verse 19 is saying that he actually went into Tartarus and spoke
right.
to these spirits.
Yes, he did. You know what I believe the conversation was? I believe the conversation was, hey, you know, he went down there, hey, you guys remember the whole Sons of God and Daughters of Men plan you had? Didn't work. I'm here. I came in the flesh. I was born of a virgin. I lived a perfect sinless life. I died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, and I'm going to rise again. But I'm here to tell you, as I leave, I'm getting ready to go up, and I'm getting ready to rise from the dead. You guys didn't win. You thought you were going to do something, but you didn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. I am victorious, and I'm here. What did he do? He told them it didn't work, friend. Your DNA plan didn't work. It didn't. You didn't win. You know?
Well, that's interesting. A lot of pastors will probably glaze over that. I can't really remember any time in my life when anybody's ever spoken on that verse.
Yeah, amen. But, you know, it says here that for eight souls. But you see what he's saying here, though? He's also saying that for eight souls, God waited. Do you understand that God loved them so much that he waited for those eight souls so they could be on the ark, that they could be saved? God's long-suffering is there right now, my friend. If you're not born again, you better repent and trust Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. You are a sinner that is in need of forgiveness of your sins, and he wants to save you and give you a new life and make you just like him. Amen. That's what he wants to do. But his long-suffering will come to an end.
Amen. Yep. Time's up. Time's up. God shuts the door, and nobody's going to open that door when God shuts it.
Amen. That's right. And we weep and we understand that men are dying every day and going to hell. And it's sad. It's sad. It's very sad to watch. It's sad to watch I've got family members that are going to die and go to hell, and they won't listen to the truth. We just got to keep praying for them. Don't ever shut up. Don't ever stop preaching. Don't ever stop talking. Don't ever stop loving them. Just keep loving them and keep sharing the truth with them. Keep preaching the Word of God to them. Keep sharing the Bible with them. Don't give up on them. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Amen. The door's not shut yet. God's still long-suffering. It's still there. Keep preaching. Keep living right. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that these sons of God, they were the ones that left their first estate, and they're in prison. They were placed there at the time of the flood. But notice, this is something of victorious. This is a passage of victory where God comes in, and Jesus comes in, I believe Christ preached a nice long sermon to those fallen angels right there. I believe he preached a nice long one to them. It says here, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I mean, can you imagine the story the sermon that he preached? I'm thinking he started with Adam maybe, or creation maybe, and he went all the way down through the line up until he came there, and he preached the whole thing to them, and they're stuck there in prison, and he's preaching the whole thing to them and saying, you know what? You didn't win, though. You didn't win. Amen. Well, that's exciting. I know I can't fight the devil like that, but I know Jesus Christ can, and I know I can hide behind him, and I can use the sword he gave me, and I can battle. But one day he's going to put down all the rebellion. He's going to put it all down. Amen?
Amen.
That'll be a good day, won't it?
So, well, wonderful day that is when this is finally over. All the suffering, no more sorrow, suffering, pain. It'll just be a really wonderful thing to be with God. As little children, we'll be, you know how little kids, when you get home from work and they're like, Daddy, and everybody comes running over to you, you know, and Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, you know. It's like, that's how we're going to be with God. When we see God, we're just going to run up and say, God!
Amen. Amen. We'll finally all be in our Father's house, won't we? Amen.
Amen.
All under one roof, having one big meal. Amen. Hallelujah. what a joy that'll be. Okay, well, moving right along here with this, as we see this, these spirits that he preached to. So he preaches to them, and then I believe these are those sons of God. They were the spirits that left their first estate. They left. They took off. They ran amok. You know, and did what they wanted to do. They chased their own lusts. You know, remember that all of creation was perverted by these things. And thousands of years had passed since the flood. They'd been there a long time in that prison. Think about that, Brother Mike. Those spirits were in that prison for a long time.
Yes, they were.
You know, no doubt they were mad. And can you imagine when they're standing before? Jesus Christ is standing there in front of them.
Right.
And just the thought process of these spirits, I can't imagine what it was.
Well, I've heard before that that is what the picture of baptism is. When you're baptized and you go down, it's not just Christ going down into the grave. It's Christ going down into Tartarus and saying, okay, I've won. You know, it's over now.
Wait, man,
for you.
He had the keys of death and of hell. Yeah, he defeated hell all the way down. He went all the way down and defeated it and rose victorious.
So when you get baptized, you're not. It's an outward picture, but that outward picture is to all the demons, all the devils that are around looking, and it's saying, okay, well, here you go. This guy is being buried. This guy is going down and coming up again, just like Christ did, you know, down into Tartarus. Here's another one you lost, you know.
Well, why do you think so much persecution came to the baptized believers over 2,000 years? Why do you think they were murdered? Because they weren't murdered when they just got saved. Most of the time, it was believers' baptism that they killed them.
Right. It's thumbing your nose up at every single one of the demons and devils that are watching. That's kind of what it is—a picture. It's an outward picture for man, but it's also a spiritual picture to things in another dimension that are not visible to us, but are visible.
Right.
We are visible to them.
Yeah, the Bible says that we're a testimony against the principalities and powers. You know, that the church is a testimony against the principalities and powers. You know, what we do is a testimony against them. Now, I like that when Christ squared his shoulders, looked them dead in the eye, and preached to them. I like that. I like the fact that happened. You know, there are a few historical accounts of some things in the book of Jasher and the book of Enoch and stuff. And I'll give you some quotes here. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them and bracelets and ornaments and the use of antimony and the beautifying of the eyelids and of all kinds of costly stones and all coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. Samazi taught enchantments and root cuttings. Amoros, the resolving of enchantments. So these are fallen angels that they're saying that taught this. Baraquel taught astrology. Coca-Abel, the constellations. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. The signs, Eriquel, the signs of the earth. Shemiziel, the signs of the sun. Seriel, the course of the moon. And as men perished. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives, and, you know, he taught them how to make all those things, and astrology. And I like this. This is a quote. It says here, and then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel looked down from heaven and saw so much bloodshedding being shed upon the earth and all lawlessness being wrought upon the earth. And they said one to another, the earth made without inhabitant cries the voice of their crying up to the gates of heaven. And now to you, the holy ones of heaven, the souls of men make their suit, saying, bring our cause before the Most High. And they said to the Lord of Ages, Lord of Lords, God of Gods, King of Kings, and God of Ages, the throne of thy glory standeth unto all generations of the ages. Now, again, this is a history. But thy name holy and glorious and blessed unto all ages. Thou hast made all things, and power over all things hast thou, and all things are naked and open in thy sight. And thou seest all things, and nothing can hide itself from thee. Thou seest what Azazel hath done, who hath caught all unrighteousness on earth and revealed the eternal secrets which were preserved in heaven, which men were striving to learn. And Samazia, to whom thou hast given authority to bear rule over his associates, and they have gone to the daughters of men upon the earth and have slept with the women and have defiled themselves and revealed to them all kinds of sins. And the women have borne giants, and the whole earth has thereby being filled with blood and unrighteousness. And now behold, the souls of those who have died are crying and making their suit of the gates of heaven, and their lamentations have ascended and cannot cease because of the lawless deeds which are wrought on the earth, and thou knowest all things before they come to pass. And, you know, then it talks about Enoch and a few others, and, you know, Azazel, he wanted to get repentance, but he couldn't get repentance, and God wouldn't forgive him, you know. But most of this history, Brother Mike, it agrees with the Scriptures. And, you know, the Scriptures are a rule of faith and practice, and when something doesn't disagree with it, I don't disagree with it. And, you know, it makes very clear that you know, the giants, these Rapha, their sons and their offspring died in the flood along with all flesh and corrupted itself on the earth.
Right. You know what would be an interesting study is to look into what was the command or the custom or how do you want to call it, of the Jews when they had a scapegoat and they released it into the wilderness. Are you familiar with that?
A little bit, but not. I don't know where you're going with it.
Okay, well, that scapegoat, that translates to the name Azazel. All right?
Really?
And, yes, the scapegoat is translates to Azazel. So why would they be sending, why is that goat, like the goat god Pan, okay, or however, that goat is translated to Azazel and can also be tied back into the god of Pan, and then there's also other cultures. The Scandinavians had a name for a horned god, and so on. But I think it would be an interesting study to see where that leads out.
I never heard that before.
Well, I just thought that would be pretty cool because that would probably give you another picture or another dimension, you know, on what this Azazel character is and why he specifically was called out. You know, he was a satyr, right? He was like Pan. He was a goat god.
Anyway, yeah, there are some records of that, and I've talked about satyrs in my hybrid series that I did, a few sermons that I did. I don't know if you heard those, but I did talk about those as well. And there's more to that than what people realize. The knowledge that those fallen angels had and what they did with it and what they created with it on the earth is just unbelievable. You know?
Right.
There's more to it than what we understand, really, I believe.
I mean, now, it's very fascinating. The deeper you get into it, the deeper you can go. There's just all kinds of things that, you know, you're just finding. It's fascinating.
Absolutely. You know, the punishment of these fallen sons of God was to be chained, and that they would watch their beloved sons die in the flood, I believe. But where did the spirit of the Rapha go? It's a good question that some ask. Where did the spirit of these giants go? Where did their spirits go? Now there's differences, variants of opinion on that. You know, where their spirits went, and why did we see giants after the flood, and why do we find lion-like men in Moab, you know, why were their giants so heinous and wicked and evil? Why were their offspring so heinously wicked and evil? And why do the spirits today that roam the earth, what we call demons, the Bible calls devils, why don't they have a body? I believe they're the fallen, they're the spirits of the giants. That's what I believe. Now, you can disagree with me. I don't get upset about that. It's one of those things that, you know, it's kind of a tough one. But I happen to believe these devils are not fallen angels, because fallen angels don't need a body. They have one already. Angels have a body already.
Right, you know, right. The fallen angels had a body, whereas the devils were they, right? But the demoniac himself was inhabited by the souls or the spirits of dead Nephilim. And that's in
right,
part,
I believe
you know, I believe in where he got his superhuman strength. You're talking about the spirit of something that was a giant, you know, living inside a human, but it gives you this incredible strength. And I don't know, to me it makes sense.
Amen. It does make sense. And that's what I came up with it when I studied it. I said, you know, I can't get around this. And I happen to believe these giants, their spirits roam the earth. Now, It's interesting that, you know, we talked about fornication. We talked about a few things like that. There's a few verses where that same word, Rapha, where that word comes again, and the Bible talks about a few of those where the same dead is, that the dead are there. You know, I think I talked to you about that one time, brother. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Now,
right.
The dead are the... What's that?
I said amen. I was actually, my mind was thinking of something else that was giving me reason to believe that that was the cause. When, and I'm not trying to promote this, so stop me or shut me up if I say something wrong here, but people who practice witchcraft and demonology are use talismans and they use spells to and incantations to bring about spiritual what do you call when you have a demon come inside of you, you know, possession. Well,
yeah,
when you are trying to get possessed by a demon, you call up these spirits and you can layer them inside of a person. All right, so when you have the devils and the demons, they don't mind each other. Devils will fight with each other. Okay, they're always seems to be getting on each other and trying to one up on the other and try to be on top of the other and who can be in control. But when you have the spirits of Nephilim and devils mixed together, they get along quite fine. You know, there's not a hierarchical problem. So these people can layer themselves with these things. And I had read some of that in the past. But that's another reason why I believe that they're two separate things. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I think it's interesting when you start to break it down. But every time fornication is mentioned about this in this way, or not every time, but when the Bible warns of fornication in Proverbs about the harlot and everything, the foolish woman, it says, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." And let's deal with that, the spirit that's behind fornication, the spirit that the devils, they love those devils, they love fornication. I mean, they love it. You know, they love everything about that.
Right.
And they're a part of that. And there's another verse in Proverbs about the dead and you know, there's other verses that, you know, that deal with that as well. So anyway, but I thought that's fascinating because I believe that's where their spirits, the giants, I believe that's where their spirits do. I believe they roam the earth. I don't believe that they are anywhere but in the earth. Again, Proverbs chapter 2, and I think that was the punishment, was that they would never get a body and they would be always constantly wanting one, you know, and they would roam.
Right. Right. Well, they've had a body in the past, and they're roaming, and so they're constantly searching for another body, and they search for that way to feel something. So when you see somebody possessed with these demons, they're cutting themselves, they're hurting themselves, they're torturing themselves, trying to force adrenaline into the system because that pain is something that they can feel. At least they can feel that when
right.
they go into another person's body. They're looking for the sensation of actually having something again as they had in the past.
Amen. That's right.
That's one of the purposes. You always see somebody who's possessed is that they're torturing themselves. You know, because that's what a demon will do to get that sensation back.
Yeah, like the maniac of Gadara, you know, he was doing the same thing. And many of the others did the same thing. I have three or four messages I preached on demon possession, devil possession too as well. You know, there's so many facets to all this that it leads up to. But needless to say, I mean, this lays the basis for it. Next week I'd like to start on the giants. And really cover the giants. They're the offspring of the sons of God and daughters of men, and what they did, and look in the scriptures and who they were, And in history, you know, what's about history about it?
Yeah, it sounds fascinating.
Yeah, and the study on it is incredible. When you start to look at, you know, it's, you know, brother, it's one of those taboo things too. Have you noticed that? You never hear churches preach on the giants. You never hear them say anything about them. They're all over the Old Testament. They're all over the land of Canaan and everything, but they never talk about it.
No, they don't. They don't ever talk about it. The Battle of the Five Kings, I was saying to you before, is probably a battle of giants. When Abraham went after them with his 300-plus trained servants, you know, his ninja group that he had there, they were going after giant kings that went down and captured Sodom and Gomorrah. Those people, those tribes were giants. And I've actually heard somebody say that one of those kings translates to the name of Nimrod. So Abraham could have been going after his distant cousin, you know, and fighting them. I don't know how you have to study that out, but those five kings were giant kings.
You know, I preached last night on Nimrod and Babylon. And
I listened to it, too. Very good. Everybody needs to listen to that. It was very good.
Yeah, it's just an overview to get started. But, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, Abraham is there at the same time, you know. He's at the same time of all this. And there's a lot of, like, in, I don't know if it's Gilgamesh or something else like that. There's a lot of talk about that, about Abraham and Nimrod and how they knew each other and, you know, or his father, Abraham's father knew Nimrod and, you know, how there was a kind of a problem between them, you know, that arose and God told, you know, that's when God told him to get thee out of that country, you know, from that kindred. It's just interesting. Interesting. I know for some people this all sounds, you know, just, I promise you it's Bible except what I read in historical accounts, but even if I left off the historical records completely, which I don't have a problem doing, I could take the Bible out and show you the sons of God and the daughters of men and what they did. And anytime you think there's going to be a difference, then you show me how 20-foot tall and 30-foot and 20 and 25-foot tall people and skeletons they found like that and all those things just come from two people mating. You show me that, and I'd be interested in seeing that. I'd be interested in seeing how a son of Seth and a daughter of Cain would get together and all of a sudden meet some giants.
Right. Amen. Did you cover the verse where women were told to cover their heads because of the angel? Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. Not in this series. I didn't, actually.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Because that's another one. I mean, why do you got to worry about the angel seeing your hair if it's not because, you know, angels were tempted by it, right?
Amen. Oh, it's fascinating, brother, when you study it. It's a fascinating study, and it goes all through the scriptures. The problem is that people don't want to study.
Right.
And preachers don't want to say the strangest things, you know, that are in the Bible. But, you know, I find it's funny that pastors will say, I know some pastors will sit around and talk about Star Wars and movies they watch and everything else, but they can't have a conversation about something like this. They can't teach and preach about something like this. They're worried about somebody thinking they're weird. Well, what's weirder? Science fiction or actually the scriptures and study the scriptures and learning something from them and helping people through them. You know, I just marvel at those things.
I know you took the words right out of my mouth. I can walk up to men who are Christian men who would, and they would never speak to me about Nephilim or giants and things. And, you know, but if I started going on about Star Trek, well, they'd be right there. Oh yeah. Captain Kirk, Captain Picard, you know, that's where they're all about,
right.
You know. But wait a second, there's infinitely more fascinating things in God's Word if you just look.
Absolutely, this brother. It's fat. Amen. And I look forward to getting into the giants and teaching that next week and really explaining the Genesis 6 giants and who they were and even the post-flood giants. And, you know, and brother, if you can come back, I'd appreciate you coming back if you can. I'd like to talk to you. I know you've got a different, kind of a different point of view than I do on the incursion type thing and everything else like that. But I'd like to present both points of view and just talk about mine and yours and that. And I don't have a problem with that. It's one of those things that it's not crystal clear like that, really, for me anyway. You know, so it'd be interesting to talk about that.
Sure. Well, sounds
yeah,
good.
That sounds
good.
Good.
Amen. This is good.
All right. Well, listen, we'll talk to you next week, Brother Mike. And for Pastor Brandon Teague, I'm Pastor Jason Cooley. And we're signing off tonight. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Stacked in stone for you and me.